Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 4. And again, I considered all travail and every right work, that for this a man is envied of his neighbors. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. Let's pray. Father, help us now tonight. You know that we have to depend on you. We lean on you. We need wisdom from you. And so we pray that you be with our mind, our tongue, enable us now to preach. Help us to say something to be an encouragement, blessing to thy people. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're doing the seven deadly sins, and tonight is envy. And before I bring the message, we have an original composition that we're going to have presented to us live and in person by its author, Miss Nicole Sanderson.
Seven deadly sins are gluttony, greed, wrath, sloth, lust, envy, and pride. Gluttony may be named the first deadly sin. All sins start from the heart deep within. Gluttony and greed are closely related, and most of the time they are greatly hated. Wrath can be started to everyone's sadness with only the tiniest bit of madness. Envy is started by wanting exactly what you can't get, and if you let it take over, you'll soon become envy's pet. A sloth is a person who is disinclined. A sloth is a person who only wastes time. Lust may start with the eye or the arm, sticking close by you like a poison-tipped dart. Pride at last will be the worst of them all. With pride in your heart, you'll be sure to fall. Each deadly sin will cut you like a knife, and soon if you'll let them, they will ruin your life.
All right, envy. Said, again, I considered. I wish we lived in more of a thinking generation. People read books, never think about what the guy said. They just, whatever he said, they just buy it. You know, they never think about it. We never stop and consider. We're in too big a hurry. Nobody's got time anymore to sit down and ponder over things. We just hit everything on the fly and we hope we come out right in the end. That's a dangerous thing. And government uses that to put over all kind of stupid stuff on us and sell us things that we don't want, and because nobody stops to think about it. They just, oh, that sounds good. Well, you know, a lot of things can sound good and not be good. Sometimes you need to consider. He said, again, I considered all travail and every right work, that for this a man is envied of his neighbor, for doing right. It's amazing the ground that envy can cover. Now, the Noah Webster 1828 semi-inspired official English dictionary of the King James Bible says for envy. I love the way they used to write things. The new dictionaries don't put it like this. This is so superior to the new college of dictionaries. It said envy, to feel uneasiness, mortification, or discontent at the sight of superior excellence, reputation, or happiness enjoyed by another. To repine at another's prosperity. To fret or grieve oneself at the real or supposed superiority of another, and to hate him on that account. My goodness. If I understand that definition correctly, envy can stick its nasty, ugly little head into almost any corner of your life. Now, we've pointed out in every message, and we'll do it again in this one, that all these seven deadly sins are things in your own heart. The reason they're called the seven deadly sins, they're not murder or fornication or anything like that. Those are acts that you commit. This is you. This is what goes on inside your heart and inside your mind. greed, lust, envy, all those things are internalized. And they determine the quality and the nature of your life. And they reveal what you are on the inside. People say, you don't know me. Well, if I've watched you for very long, I do. Now, I grant you that in our day and age, we're so busy watching ourselves and wanting everybody to watch us that we never watch anybody else. But I've spent the largest portion of my 61 years observing. And I'm here to tell you, if you watch people for very long, if you think about it very much, you can know them. We reveal what we are by what we do and what we say and our attitude about things. And if a person has the disease of envy, believe me, it shows. You can't hide it. And it's an ugly and a loathsome thing to behold. The Bible said in Ecclesiastes 9:6, also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Envy doesn't prosper you anything. It doesn't prolong anything. And like everything else, including the love of your life, it's going to end with the grave. And so since in life it can't do anything for you, envy is a futile pursuit. It consumes your time and your energy and your mind and profits you absolutely nothing. There is nothing that can be gained from envy. The Bible said in Psalm 73, verse 3, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Now, the foolish there is the wicked. And he said, I was envious of them because they prospered. And he wants what they have, and he's jealous because he doesn't have what they have. And so he envies them because they've got everything. They've got the good life. It's like all across America, you see teenagers that are envious of ball players, athletes, movie stars, musicians, and those kind of things. Oh, if I had their money, if I had their talent, if I had their ability, if, say, and what it is, they're envious because somebody else has something they don't have. You know that no matter how much you ever have, you never have enough, and there's always somebody to envy. Somebody's always got more. Somebody's always got bigger. Somebody's always got better. In Proverbs chapter 24, verse 1 and verse 19, the Bible said, be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked. Boy, you look around the world and you see some people who live like the devil, and it just seems like everything goes their way. They've got the Midas touch. If they stepped in mud, you know, it comes out, don't leave tracks. Everything they do, just they prosper. And God's people sit around, and a lot of times we are envious of that crowd. Now, don't be too envious. They're going to die and go straight to hell. Amen. And what they've got, they're going to leave behind. And what I have, I can take with me. So don't be envious at the wicked, and don't fret yourself because of the wicked. What they've got's only temporary. The truth is, this is the best the wicked will ever have, and this is the worst you will ever have if you're a child of the King. And so it's a great tragedy for God's people to be envious of the wicked or the unsaved or the worldly. Job chapter 5 and verse 2, the Bible said, for wrath killeth the foolish man, and envy slayeth the silly one. Proverbs 14:30 said, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy is the rottenness of the bones. Now here's the problem with envy. Not only can it not get you what the other fella has, it can't get you his possessions, it can't get you his fame, it can't get you his popularity, it can't get you their talent. It can't get you their position or station in life. The truth is, your envying of them is a totally futile gesture. But what it does do is consume you from the inside. If you're envious of somebody, if you desire to have what they have, and not just to be like them, but to be them, to take what they have, to dispossess them so you can possess, that thing is like a cancer inside of you. Because people, you think about it, and you mull it over, and every time you see them, the fires rekindle, and that little thing in there just starts clicking again. And it gets to where it's like any other disease. It's progressive. It doesn't stay in remission. It doesn't stay tame. It grows and grows. It may grow very slowly at first. But like anything that grows, there comes a point where it accelerates. It picks up speed. It's like a bobsled going downhill. It may start slow, but it won't stay that way very long. And the longer you let envy build inside of you, the more you resent what other people have, and resent them for having it, the bigger that cancer gets, the bigger that sore gets, until it can literally consume everything that's in you. Your whole life is ruined, and you're in a state of anger and frustration and hostility because you feel shortchanged, you feel cheated, because you don't have what they've got. Of course, you don't have their headaches either. Tell you something that'll help you with envy sometimes. Just in your spare time, you're not doing anything. Look into the lives of people who have had this world's good. Find you somebody that it would be easy to envy. I mean, they've got looks and money and power and position, and they've got it all. Find somebody that would be really easy to be envious of. Then, as best you can, look into their life and see the heartache and the tragedies and the misfortunes and the hardships that they've gone through. And most of the time you come away thinking, thank God I'm me. If you take most of the multimillionaires, the exceeding wealthy men that we know anything about, and look into their life, they are filled with tragedy. They are filled with sadness and heartbreak. They end up suicides. They end up drunks. They end up in early graves. And what did their great wealth or talent or ability or whatever it was, what good did it do them in the end? And you're envious of that? You want that? You want the life that goes with that? I don't think so. I think all you see is the glamour and the glitter, and you think about what all you could do if you had this or that, never realizing all the trouble and all the trials and tribulation that come with it. There's no such thing as a free lunch. Everything's got a price tag on it. That's the reason sometimes the happiest people in the world, the most contented people in the world, the people who have the less suicide, who have less hostility and anger, who have less of everything, are the people who have less of everything. I talked to an old black gentleman one time. He had nothing. He worked a part-time job as a mechanic's helper. He made $1.15 an hour. This has been a few years ago. Lived in a little old shack down by the railroad track. And I'm like, Jay, he really did live down by the railroad track. He didn't have nothing. He didn't have a car. He didn't have a TV. He just had himself. And that old boy walked around whistling and singing and stuff. And I asked him one day, I said, Frank, I said, why in the world are you always so happy? He said, I ain't got nothing to be sad about. I ain't got no money for nobody to take. I ain't got no wife for nobody to run off with. I ain't got no bank account to worry about no taxes. If the stock market goes through the floor, don't bother me. He living off of welfare. He just happy as a jaybird, son. He told me, he said, Bob, he said, you know, if you could be a colored fella just one weekend, he said, you never would want to be white again. He just didn't have a care in the world. He wasn't envious. No, all them people running around with money and all that stuff didn't interest him, didn't turn his head one iota. He was perfectly content with who he was, where he was at. He was happy. I kind of envied him. Where was I at? Proverbs 27:4. Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? The truth is nobody. Envy is such a cancerous thing, it's contagious. It shows itself. It humiliates the person who is envious and embarrasses the one who is envied. Some years ago, we lived up in Virginia Beach, and our children were still at home, and there's a fellow down there who had a pig farm. His name was Malvern, Billy Malvern. And he built him a big old fine house and moved out of his other big old fine house. And we leased it. Had a big old in-ground swimming pool. I think it was 5 bedrooms, 3 baths, acres of land, big long drive, beautiful place. And we leased it because it had the swimming pool, and the girls could have their friends from school over and have pool parties and all that stuff. And you know how when they're growing up, you try to keep them entertained so they don't go bad. It don't work. but you got to try. Anyway, this preacher that I knew and his little ugly homely wife came over. She was ugly and she was homely. This guy weighed about 350 pounds. He was about this big and bald headed. I mean, his head looked like an egg. And he was about that big around. All of his weight was right here because there wasn't nothing in here. It was all right. And she was about this big. And she had this big hump on her back like that. And they called him Ma and Pa. They were disgusting. But anyway, they were at our house. I forget what the deal was, but they came. And this little old mean woman, I mean, she was mean. And she was always so, everybody thought she was so sweet. She was just, butter wouldn't melt in her mouth. That woman was mean as the devil himself. She may have been the devil's mama. Honey, she was bad. But she walked around on a little hump in the air, you know, and she said, oh, the Lord has been so good to you. I wish we had a pool like that. I said, you ought to have its payments. I mean, I wasn't paying for it. I was just being smart, you know. But all day long, she walked around. Oh, this is such a fine house. The Lord's been so good. I wish he had blessed us like he's blessed you. You know what? That woman was each slam up with envy. Now, it was embarrassing for her to see a full-grown person make a spectacle out of themselves like that. And it was embarrassing for me. I thought, she's never going to shut up. I mean, all you got to say, it's a nice place you got here, Bob. I said, yeah, Miss Malvern thinks so too. Amen. That's embarrassing. But it's embarrassing, it's humiliating for the person who is envious because they cannot hide their envy. You've got to let somebody know that you're dissatisfied with yourself. You've got to let somebody know you're dissatisfied with your lot in life. For example, in Genesis chapter 30 and verse 1, the Bible said, and when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister. Now, why did she envy her sister? Because sister got a couple of kids, that's why. Amen. Now, if old Jacob had never married but one of them girls, we wouldn't be having this story. It's what you get for having two wives. I figure he had most of this coming. Amen. Any man dumb enough to want two women in his life at the same time is not bright. Somebody say amen. Amen. Anyway, this old boy had married Leah and Rachel. He kind of got conned into it, but Leah had a couple of young'uns and Rachel didn't have any. And you know what? She is envious of her sister because her sister's got young'uns. And so she thinks her husband loves Leah more than her because Leah gave him children. And so she envies her sister because of her sister's children. You can be envious of anything. Anything. It shows up in families. It shows up in marriages. It shows up in children. It shows up in churches. It shows up everywhere. Now she got really upset about that. She said, said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. Well, I've never known anybody that just fell down stone cold graveyard dead because they couldn't have young'uns. Now, I know some women that are upset about it and spend a great deal of money on them fertilization clinics and all that stuff, you know. But they're still alive. She wasn't going to die. That's her despair. That's her envy talking. Makes her irrational. In Mark chapter 15 and verse 10, the Bible said, for he knew that the chief priest had delivered him for envy. Now that's the chief priest. These are the big shots in a religious community down in Jerusalem. This is the chief high muckety-mucks. These are the boys with all the power that walk around with the long flowing robes doing their om thing, you know. And when Jesus Christ comes to town and does a few miracles and a handful of people break away and follow him, all of a sudden, the chief priests are envious of Jesus Christ. For what? Because he's more popular than they are. The people are following him and not them. And they're envious of that. They hate him because of that. Never forget that there's always an element of hate or resentment that goes with envy. See, the whole idea behind envy is you want what they have, and you're angry with them because they've got it because you deserve it more than they do. If God had been fair, if things had come out like they should, you'd be like that. Or that's what you'd have. Then the other guy would be wasting his life envying you. The Lord Jesus Christ walked this earth for 33 years and approximately 6 months. Never owned a house. Never had a chariot. Never owned any worldly goods. Didn't even have a wallet. Judas carried the billfold. Amen. Just strode around town with what he had on his back and what folks gave him. And he's envied. He's envied. See, it's not always for what you got. Sometimes it's for who you are. Then Acts chapter 13, verse 45. But when the Jews saw that the multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Now, the Apostle Paul came to town. He's preaching, done a few little old miracles, nothing super spectacular, just enough to get a crowd and get a, you know, do a little chalk talk. But folks were impressed with him. And when the leaders of the community saw it, they were moved with envy and began to contradict and to blaspheme. So why? Because the people gave attention to Paul. Because the people, the masses, listened to what he had to say. And if they're listening to him, they're not listening to the big shots. And they couldn't stand it. They were envious in their heart, and the reaction was they began to contradict and to blaspheme. They just made stuff up. They couldn't keep it to themselves. And I'm here to tell you, when folks are envious and there's hatred attached, and there almost always is, You hate the person or bitter against the person because of what they have that you don't have or what they accomplished that you haven't accomplished. You can't keep it to yourself. The Bible said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And what you have in here comes out. From within, out of the heart, proceedeth the issues of life. Your mouth, your conduct, your actions are a dead giveaway to what goes on in here. You can see just how petty, how small, how jealous, how bitter, how angry, how envious somebody is. Just be around them a little while, watch them and listen to them. And if you've got any IQ at all, if your cognitive skills work at all, you discern pretty quick what their inside is like. Maybe that's the reason most people don't pay any attention to other people. They don't like what they see. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3, the Bible said, "For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not yet carnal?" Now, we're supposed to be saved by God's grace. We're supposed to walk in the Spirit so that we do not fulfill the lust of the flesh, right? We're not supposed to be carnally minded. We're supposed to be spiritually minded. And it says, where there is envying and strife and divisions, that's an indication of a carnal mind. That's an individual, that's a person. I don't care what their testimony is. I don't care what they say with their mouth about their conversion. The evidence says they are carnal, not spiritual. Now, they can prance around the church all they want to and talk about what great Christians they are. And, you know, you talk to folks all the time, you think they're looking for a vacancy in the Trinity. I mean, oh, they just love Jesus with all their heart. And, you know, they just love church and blah, blah, on and on and on and on. Doesn't take long to find out. Somebody say amen. I'm not getting much help tonight. Are y'all an envious crowd? Be not envious against the wicked. Now, we are to strive not to be carnally minded. We're to crucify the flesh. Paul said, "I keep my body under and bring it into subjection." He said, "I die daily." We are supposed to have Christ in us and bring every thought into captivity. Amen. You are supposed to keep that old carnal nature under control. You're supposed to conquer him and crucify him every day. And the truth is that in modern America, in Christian circles, we flaunt our carnality. We put it up on display. We want folks to see how much of this world we have. There's not much preaching against and not much practice of crucifying the flesh. We do not labor as a body. Of course, I understand there are individuals that really do want to live godly and crucify the flesh and subdue all their carnal appetites. But in mass, the church as a whole, you just don't see much of it these days. You talk to folks and they sound spiritual, and then they get some opportunity and they'll throw all their convictions and everything in the trash can if there's a dollar in it or if there's some prestige in it. Say, why? Because they're envious of what the world has. In Acts chapter 7 and verse 9, the Bible said, "And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt." Now, when you read that little story back over there, you think that it's just sibling rivalry. But it was a lot more to it than that. The truth is, Joseph's brothers were envious. Joseph was the father's favorite because he was the baby. Now, whether that's right, wrong, or indifferent, that happens a lot. That's just the way it is. When that last young'un comes along Everybody in the family spoils it. The mama, the daddy, and the older siblings. Joseph's the baby. Everybody spoils it. But Joseph's brother, because he got preferential treatment, and because he was treated so different from them, were envious. They wanted the same attention that he got. They wanted that their father should have loved them and put it on display just like he did Joseph. They didn't hate Joseph because he was mean or bad or because he had the coat. They hated him because the father loved him. Now, the honest truth is, and I picked these verses, and this is certainly not all, Romans 1:29, 1 Timothy 6:4, 1 Peter 2:1, Romans 13, and on and on. There's a number of good verses to illustrate how envy works. Comes kind of redundant after a while. It works when you're dissatisfied. It works when you not only want a house like that guy, when you want his. When you don't appreciate that guy's talent, you want what he has for yourself. And when you hate him or are angry with him because he has it and you don't. Now that's an ugly thing. And I am here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that is easy to get. Envy is almost as easy as lying. Nothing is easy as lying. I know, you don't lie, right? Give me a break. Everybody lies. Oh, some of y'all don't think so. Really? You ever say something in such a way as to make somebody think one thing when you know the opposite is so? You're a liar. I can think of a million ways to tell a lie. You can tell the truth and tell a lie. If you tell the truth in such a way as to make the person think something other than what you say is so. Amen. There's a real art to lying. My grandchildren have mastered it. Where was I at? Now, so they sold Joseph into slavery because they hated him, because they were envious of him. Now, there was nothing in Joseph himself they didn't like. They didn't see a talent or an ability there that they lacked. What they hated him for was somebody else loved him. Now, if you ever stop and think about envy a while and just run some scenarios through your head, it is possible to get that bitterness, that envy, that hatred in your heart for almost anybody or anything. It's like a snake, and every time you see that ugly thing pop its head up, you need to shoot it. Because once it gets started, buddy, it is pure team murder to get it rid of. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, that's enough of the verses. I have six little points here, and we'll go home. Number one, envy is almost always an indicator of lack of self-worth and self-confidence. You don't feel good about yourself. If you did, you wouldn't want to be somebody else. Amen. The psychobabble of our day, which just, I'm not going to get started on it because it just irks me. But everything is a sickness or a syndrome or a something or another, or we were disadvantaged or just on and on and on. But one of the big things of our day is I just don't have any sense of self-worth. I have low self-esteem. Well, why? Why do people have that? Now, I've never suffered with that. I can't remember a day in my life when I had low self-esteem. There may have been some I should have, but that just ain't my nature. Somebody say amen. Always like me. There's what's the name of that quartet? The Chuck Wagon Gang used to have a song. I love that song. And I've got it at home someplace. I don't listen to it much because all their stuff sounds just alike. But they had this one song that was really cool. And the first line of the song was, it said, I used to love myself more than anybody. Folks have low self-esteem. Why do they do that? Well, because they haven't accomplished anything, or they've been battered and browbeat their whole life. You know, they give you all these reasons, which are almost always groundless. Did you ever think that the average person always sees somebody else as more blessed than themselves? Here's a guy that's got musical ability. Now, I hate Ryan. He's my least favorite person on the planet because he's just got talent dripping out of his fingers. Now, I could be envious of that talent because I love music, and I got no talent. Amen? And maybe I suffer from low self-esteem because I don't have any talent. I can't sing, and I can't play, and I'm just, you know, and I'm just envious of him because he can. Why do that? We always think the other guy is heads up. Let's talk about his handicaps. Okay, he's got musical ability, but he can't think. What I'm saying is, when you look at somebody that's got something in their life that you're envious of, when you look at them, you'll find some things in you, whoops. If I got to take that to get this, forget it. Amen. And you know, there's almost always somebody looking at you saying, oh, I wish I'd... You say, oh, well, I don't have any talent. Well, you're a great carpenter. Well, anybody can do that. No, they can't. You are looking at plus or minus a quarter inch right here. Semi-straight. Now, I can do wires, but I don't do carpentry. Oh, well, there ain't nothing to it. I've had carpenters tell me that. The Bible said, wisdom is easy to him that understandeth. Amen. I got a kid that works for me. He does sheet metal. And honest before God, if there's more than one wire in it, he'll hook it in the wrong place. That boy, he's been with us for 10 or 12 years now. A good guy. But he just cannot get a hold of electricity to save his life. He just can't get it. Everybody's got... I'd be careful about being envious of people that have some one thing that you think is so wonderful. You find out a lot of times it's not. I remember one time we were at a concert with the Chandlers. And the Chandler girl's kind of a thin, gaunt-looking girl to me. I mean, I guess she's nice-looking, but she's just too skinny. I like meat on my girls. This girl's skinny. But she can sing, got a beautiful country voice, if you like country kind of gospel. And I heard these guys back in the back talking about her. Boy, and they were just eating her up, you know, and they had her up on this pedestal, and she was just so wonderful, and blah, 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 blah. Well, that girl got up at night and they sang. She gave her testimony. She was born with severe scoliosis. Her spine was all twisted and bent over, I mean, really, really bad. And she had been through operation after operation after operation to get all that straightened out. And her female organs were all mixed up at birth. And she had been through a whole bunch of operations to get those things straightened out. And after she got married, it took her years and years to have their child. And she went, I mean, And of course, she was talking about after she got saved, you know, and how God had blessed and worked it out and this, that, and the other. And she gave a wonderful testimony. But the point was, when you look at it, you say, well, here's a beautiful woman. She's up on stage, got a beautiful voice, got a great family. What a wonderful, wonderful life. It was anything but. I'd be careful about being envious of somebody else. Your life may be better than the one you're looking at. Amen. Envy usually shows a lack of self-worth or self-confidence. Number two, envy is the first cousin to jealousy. Now, it's not the same thing as jealousy, but boy, do they run in the same pack of dogs. And somebody say, well, he's envious of so-and-so. Somebody else might say, well, they're jealous of them. Jealous in the sense that they have something we don't have. See, jealousy is not always a man jealous of his wife. We'll talk about that more in another week or two. Where was that? Envy is like bone cancer. It eats away at the support structure. Bone cancer, my mother had cancer in her spine. And as it progressed, her bones in her body got super, super brittle. And she could put her foot down like that and crack it. The bone would break. And it just got worse and worse until finally, right before she passed away, she couldn't walk, she couldn't stand. Her skeleton was so fragile that if she puts any weight on it or shifts on it or bumps anything, it broke. The support structure of God was eaten up from the inside. And that's the way envy is. It's a cancer on the inside that fills you with hate and bitterness. Hate and bitterness generate anger and hostility. And all that stuff builds up in there. It's got to go somewhere. So you know what people who are envious do? They spew their envy all over the place. They have to tell somebody. Now, if envy is associated with hatred, and it is, to be truly envious, you have to dislike the person or hate the person because of who they are or what they have. So what do you do? People who are envious run their mouth and run other people down. We find fault. We spread stories, make up things. We do whatever we can to hurt that person because we hate them. Why do we hate them? Basically, because we're envious of them. They've got it and I can't have it, and it's not fair. Let me tell you something. If you're walking around free, white, and 21, you're saved by the grace of God. You got everything in this world that a person needs. Amen. I'll take being saved over being anything. Amen. I may have to wait till I get home to heaven to play a musical instrument and sing. I'll just wait, thank you. By the grace of God, I don't want to waste my time fretting over what somebody else can do or what somebody else has. I don't want to hate somebody or be angry at them because I want to be them or to have what they have. Life's too short. And it doesn't get me anything. All it does is defile me on the inside. Robs you of your happiness, of your joy, of your peace, your tranquility. Because you're always fuming and you're always angry because you're filled with hatred. What a miserable way to live. Be not envious. Then, envy shows discontent with God's choices for your life. Amen. Are you happy being who you are? Are you happy being where you're at? Are you at peace with yourself? Well, people say, well, preacher, I'm not much. I don't ever feel that way. I'm serious. I don't ever feel that way. I can't ever remember feeling I wasn't much. I always thought I was somebody. I know, I don't mean to think I'm better than anybody. I don't mean it that way. But I'm as important as you are. Amen. God loves me just like he loves you. What have I got to be envious of? Now let's take a rich man. Brother Lewis. He works for Carrier. Now here's some guy, he's got a big fine house and a big fine car and a wife, right? And he eats the finest food and wears the nicest clothes. Now you tell me why I need to be envious. I got a house and the roof don't leak anymore. Anymore.
Till it rains again.
And the heater works, and the air conditioner works.
Amen, amen.
And I got a refrigerator, and a TV set, and a microwave. And we even got a computer. I don't even know how to turn it on. Now, that guy's got all that stuff. The only difference between his and mine is he paid a lot more money. He's in deeper in debt than I am. Amen. Well, he's got a wife. I got one. He curls up at night. So do I. He gets up in the morning, cranks up his cold car, and waits for it to warm up, and drives off to work. So do I. You ever think, you know what we're envious of? Not that we don't have. We don't have as nice or as expensive or as big. Is that not retarded? Do you ever think about this? Somebody said, oh, we need a bigger house. Why? Most folks live in two rooms. Half the people here don't live in the whole house. If you got a kitchen and a bathroom and a living room, dining room, that's about all you need. You don't need a formal dining room that nobody ever goes in. You don't need a formal living room that nobody ever goes in. You don't need a basement with a rec room in it that nobody plays in. Amen. My house keeps me just as warm. I set my thermostat on 70, and 70 is 70. I don't care whether it's a $100,000 house or a $500,000 house. Amen. And I'm here today. I can get in my little old Chrysler 300 out there in the morning and crank it up and push them two little buttons, and the seat gets warm, and the motor warms up, and I drive off to work or whatever, and here's some guy with a Bentley, and you know something? He's got to go through the same procedure, except he gets the butler to do it. What is the difference? What are we envious of? Amen? So, well, so-and-so's got talent. Well, you got one too. My wife used to say years ago, I don't know how to do anything. I don't have any talent. I don't have any abilities. I said, then learn to do something. You got a brain. Learn to do something. And so she did. She likes to... What? Huh? Oh, I know that. Well, I'm about to take her out of the ministry because she's got a bigger following than I got. She wanted to learn how to crochet. Man, she got good. She made big old afghans and stuff, beautiful stuff. And that cross-stitching, I mean, she made some award-winning stuff. She was really good at it. Then she wanted to do cakes. I spent $5,000 on cake plates, pans, and little doohickeys to make little squigglies out of. And she got really good at it, made a couple of real big fancy cakes for this big fancy wedding. Once she got it, she figured out she knew she didn't want to do it anymore. Then we went through hot glue.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you get a hot glue gun, man, and you know, get to go to them little stores where you buy all them flowery thing, whatever it is, and make a... Hallelujah. I liked it better when she didn't have to do nothing. I said, oh, I wish I was like so-and-so. I wish, why don't you find out what you do? And quit being envious of the other guy. You can't get his ability. I sat down here a couple weeks ago and Ryan was playing the bass guitar and I thought, I have pretty good powers of observation. I'm good at watching and remembering. Then I think about it later and sort it all out. He's playing the bass guitar. I thought, I'll act disinterested and I'm going to watch him play this song and I'm going to find out what key it's in and where he made his little runs. And then when there's nobody around, I'm going to learn to do it and I'm going to show him. And so I did. And I got back to church the next time. I couldn't remember what song it was. Don't let that envy thing get in your heart. Don't let it get in your life. Learn to be you. Learn to be happy with you. Learn to be content with you. What we ought to do, instead of hating somebody else because of who they are and what they've done and what they've accomplished, what we ought to do is spend our time and our energy being the best me that I can be. Let me be the best Bob Hensley. I want to be the best husband and the best father and the best grandpa and the best preacher. Only person I can work on, the only person I can change is me. And being envious of anybody else is a waste of my time and energy. I'm not going to misdirect my life in that way. I have some other areas I want to misdirect my life. Number five. Envy will rub off on others. You can't keep it to yourself. The other day, I was supposed to have went to a birthday dinner, last Friday evening, and I was leaving Chester late. I left down there about 5:30, and I called my wife, and I said, I'm on my way home. Then my other cell phone rang, and I answered it, and it was one of my mechanics who was on a job, and he couldn't fix it, and I had to go help him. So I called my wife back and said, cancel dinner. We're not going to make it. I got to go. So I get over there and find out what's wrong with it, and I fixed it, which really aggravated me because I fixed it, he got paid for it, and I got hurt. In the process of doing the whole thing, I smashed my finger. Whoops, it's oozing right now. See that? I got it caught between a belt and a pulley and smashed it. Boy, and I mean, it just turned purple. And I'm telling you, it hurt. Glory to God that it hurt. And so I went home, and it was just, every time my heart would beat, my finger would go, poof, poof, poof. I said, hallelujah, I can't stand this. So I got me a paper clip, I heated that thing cherry red, and I burnt me a hole right through that thing. Blood went everywhere. Good, red, rich, AIDS-free blood. Let that pressure out. Now, that was last Friday, today's Wednesday, and that stuff keeps building up in there, and it keeps seeping out. I've got a little drop right there right now. See that? Isn't it cool? See, well, because that stuff builds up under there, and it's going somewhere. It's going somewhere. And when that envy builds up inside of you, when that hatred builds up in it, it's going somewhere. You are not going to keep it to yourself. And you'll find yourself talking about people, running them down, saying nasty little things, making them little snide comments. See why? Because in reality, you're envious of them. If they meant nothing to you, they wouldn't be worth talking about. Amen? Do you ever think about this? People who mean nothing to you, one way or the other, you never mention them. We talk about the people we love and the people we like, and we talk about the people we hate or envy. And if they don't fit in them two camps, we don't mess with them. You know why them people keep coming up? You got a problem with them, that's why. And you can't keep it to yourself. And last but not least, Envy gains you nothing, and it changes nothing. The Bible said, who by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? What goes on in here changes nothing out here. All it does is defile you. You could have been doing something profitable, something beneficial, something constructive, something that was fun. But instead, we spent our time moaning and groaning and whining and complaining and finding fault in here. And all that time and all that energy that could have been useful for something was wasted on something that profits nobody. Well, preacher, I know you're right, but I'll tell you, some people just... If you could be anybody in the world you wanted to be tonight, who would you be? Let me tell you who I'd change places with. I'm going to tell you exactly who I'd like to be. I'm going to give you the secret of my heart. This is a revelation. If I could be anybody that I wanted to be, the person that I envy the most, admire the most, respect the most, if I could be them tonight, let me tell you who I'd be. I'd be me. I don't know another person on the planet I want to be. Every time I see somebody that where I'm tempted to be envious, I think, they're ugly. And I'm not. Or they're stupid. And I have a hard time with stupid. I really do. God knows I do. I confess it all the time, but it's just, I can deal with ignorance, but stupidity just drives me insane. Every time, just find you somebody that you really, they've got it, you know. And think about them. Watch them. Listen to the stupid stuff they say. And you say, oh, Lord God, I can't believe he said that. You don't have anything to be envious of. You are who God made you. And he made you the way he wanted you to be. And he gave you the talents and the abilities that you need to be you. You don't need to be envious of anybody. You ought to be proud to be you. You are absolutely and totally unique. There's not another one like you anyplace. And the rest of us are saying, amen, thank God. Amen. Envy, not. Envy, not. That's a great commandment. And every time you find yourself tempted, you hear those thoughts come rumbling through your mind, you need to stop and confess them and get that thing right. Don't waste your life in envy. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Pray that you'd help us to guard our mind. Help us to be content. Help us to be all we can be. Help us to realize we're unique and special, and you love us as we are. In Jesus' name, amen.